हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Jai Page. Page 27. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the gopis were not ordinary women. In essence, they were on an equal level with Krishna. They are his eternal associates. As it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, they are expansions of the pleasure potency of Krishna, and his as his potency, they are non-different from him. Although they were depressed by the words of Krishna, they did not like to use harsh words against him. Yet they wanted to rebuke Krishna for his unkind words, and therefore they began to speak in faltering voices. They did not like to use harsh words against Krishna because he was their dear most, their heart and soul. The gopis had only Krishna within their hearts. They were completely surrendered and dedicated souls. Naturally, when they heard such unkind words, they tried to reply, but in the attempt, torrents of tears fell from their eyes. Finally, they managed to speak. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the first group of gopis wanted to defeat Krishna by arguments. The beautiful gopis said, right, so it'll just create all these different flavors that are there. And so then in this case, then the first group, then they want to defeat Krishna by arguments. So it's just different moods that will come as a response to this, how Krishna is dealing and how they're feeling. The beautiful gopis said, O all-powerful one, you should not speak in this cruel way. Do not reject us. Who have renounced all material enjoyment to render devotional service to your lotus feet. Reciprocate with us, O stubborn one, just as the primeval Lord Sri Narayan reciprocates with his devotees in their endeavors for liberation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, you are giving us instructions about religious principles, but it is inappropriate that you, at the same time, desire to commit great sins. With this intention, the gopis speak to Krishna. Remember, because before Prabhupada said they were not pleased with his free advice. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah. For you to utter such cruel words, which are meant to kill, is not fit for the son of Nanda, who is famous in this place as a pious leader. Though we are numbering in the millions, you have fired your arrow-like words upon all of us, so that we will now give up our bodies and go to the abode of Yama instead of following your order and going home. You go to Vraja after taking the sin of having killed millions of women. If you do not want to accept the sin of killing so many women, then you should adore these women who have given up everything and come to serve your lotus feet. By using the phrase sarva vishayan, all things, instead of anya vishayan, other things, they indicate the intimate association of the Lord is not to be classed as a material thing. Okay. In verses 24 to 26, it can be taken that Krishna is implying, O desirous women, have you come here to worship me because your husbands have not satisfied your lust? To which the gopis consider, O one who keeps others at a distance, one hard to attain, one who obstructs the rain. O cloud who rains down poison, friend of the black cloud, today you have rained down poison on us, Chataki birds. Though we are far from you, because you are in this form, You did not rain down mercy. Having drunk that poison, we are now dying, but we will not drink the water from the nearby lake. You want to maintain your nature as being most grateful. You should not reject us. To which Krishna could reply, O gopis, the chataki waits for the cloud, as you have said, but the cloud does not depend on the chataki. To the cloud, it does not matter whether the chataki lives or dies. The gopis replied, That is true, but you are not a cloud. You are like Narayana and the most clever. Therefore, you should act as Narayana acts, just as the Lord does not reject those seeking liberation and fulfills their desires. You should fulfill ours. Narayana reciprocates with those who have given up everything by awarding liberation, because he is under the devotee's control. We have given up everything and come to your feet, but why do you not reciprocate with us? Because that's the standard. He's saying is that Narayana, he'll just like this, that this is the standard, this is how you're supposed to deal. They've surrendered, you surrendered to Narayana, he then reciprocates. We've surrendered to you, you're not reciprocating. The gopis continued. Our dear Krishna, as an expert in religion, you have advised us that the proper religious duty for women is to faithfully serve their husbands, children, and other relatives. We agree that this principle is valid, but actually this service should be rendered to you. After all, O Lord, you are the dearmost friend of all embodied souls. You are the most intimate relative, indeed their very self. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. O dear Krishna, they continued, you are the supreme instructor. There is no doubt about it. Your instructions to women to be faithful to their husbands and merciful to their children, to take care of household affairs and to be obedient to the elder members of the family, are surely just according to the tenets of the Shastras. But we know that one may perfectly observe all these instructions of the Shastras by keeping oneself under the protection of your lotus feet. Our husbands, friends, family members, and children are all dear and pleasing to us only because of your presence, for you are the supersoul of all living creatures. Without your presence, one is worthless. When you leave the body immediately dies. And according to the injunction of the Shastras, a dead body must immediately be thrown into a river or burned. And so this seems only because Krishna is in the heart of all living entities, then they even appreciate taking care and interacting with the family members. So they're doing them all nicely, but it's because they see it's Krishna. Krishna's in the heart, so they're rendering all this service to Krishna as super soul. It comes through the medium of the particular form of the living entity they're dealing with. But it's Krishna who's important. Right? Yes.
So they don't have an indirect relationship with Krishna as such.
No.
Krishna is direct.
Everything's direct. Because they're not seeing it that the Lord is these potencies, I'm interacting with the Lord as the potencies of Brahman and Paramount, but they're interacting on the Bhagavan platform. But Krishna as Bhagavan has come as Paramatma, that's why then they're reciprocating in that way. And they see all things as connected. He may be pervading everything as Brahman, but it's Krishna who's pervading everything. Right? So they in that way are always seeing Krishna. But still, even though they're always seeing Krishna because of that sense of possession, when he's not personally present, they do feel separation. So that's the difference. Those are Shantaras and the same. So with the same perspective, they don't feel separation because they see it's all Krishna. Right? But for the gopis, then it's a different flavor. So it is separation.
Can you catch the part of the Shantaras?
Shantaras, because they see Krishna in everything and all things, that they never feel separation.
Yeah.
They're always together with the Lord, but it's not a dynamic active sambhog, but it's not that they're not with. You know what I say? In other words, they're existing in a state of always being with the Lord and appreciating the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no sense of proprietorship. Right? Possession. So there, because he's just the Lord. He is who he is. They are who they are as part and parcel, and they're appreciating that. So there's no sense of proprietorship. But with servant, then he's the master, I'm the servant. There's that aspect. So then, if Krishna's not personally present, then one will feel separation, even though one's seeing Krishna in everything. And then when one's personally with Krishna, then one will feel that presence of being together. Does that make sense? So it gives a different flavor. So we're just identifying that because seemingly the technique would be used more by the jnanis. But the point is the they're called jnanis because that's all the farther it goes. It only goes up to the shanta. Right? While then for the gopis, then it's just about Bhagavan. And how, because it's Krishna who is everything. It's not Brahman is everything and then there's Krishna. No, Krishna is everything and he goes through everything as Brahman. He's situated in everything as Paramatma. But it's Bhagavan who's doing that. So that's what they see. You know, it's just like the person in the company. Then if they're a little bit sharp, let's say like they're a supervisor, that then they see how the, you know, they see the all-pervading aspect of whoever owns the company. But they're just seeing it, you know, like that. The general worker just sees that the rules and that are all-pervading. You know, there's a rule for everything, you know. And they're going to get in trouble for anything. Even they're in the bathroom using the soap dispenser. If they don't use it right, someone's going to come and tap on their shoulder, you know. And then, you know, then the supervisor will see that, that how he controls everything. But let's say the boss's son, then he sees how it's the father is pervading everything. So three different perspectives. Like that. So the gopis, then, it's that one that they see as Krishna is the one who's there. So that's why then, in seeing their family members, they just see Krishna, and that's how they can go on nicely. Otherwise, how do they take care of family members? You know what I'm saying? How would they do it? They'd be so absorbed, and so then they'd just go out and sit in front of Tulsi and chant all day or something. So it won't work, because then here, then the relationship is that they are active in, how are you saying, in family life, and then they go to meet Krishna. So when they're with families, that's when they're in separation. And then they go to meet Krishna, and then that's when they're in sambhog. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also from previous classes that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explained that four kinds of sambhog and four kinds of Vipralamba.
Yes.
So it's not exactly one thing. Right?
Yes, yes.
Together or separate.
Yeah, and most likely you can break each one of those down. And yeah, I'm just saying you can keep going unlimitedly. That's how you get the unlimited flavors. You know, so then you add that, because you have that, then you have the eight kinds of heroines.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have it, the three, you know, the intensity,
yeah,
their ages.
Yeah, then it's 92, you're like that.
Yeah, and so then it ends up with, yeah, like that. And so then you have that with, you know, in Parakya, Swakya, like this. So it just goes and gets so many. So in this way it creates so much. And these are your major categories, because within those, then there'll be some slight, you know, adjustments. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maharaj, and then for the Shantarasa devotees, because it doesn't matter for them whether Krishna is present or not, so they are satisfied only with the sphurti of Krishna.
Yeah. Means that the remembrance of Krishna, that aspect that he's there, but no, they're happy in both. If he's there, they see him there. And if he's not there, they see him in everything anyway. So they're always with Krishna in some form or another. So for them, whether it's remembrance, whether it's the Brahman Asura, Paramat Asura, Bhagavad, it doesn't, to them it's all good. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem. Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, when Krishna said that the gopis should serve their husbands as their dharma, they inferred that he was following Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Taking support of Brahma Mimamsa, which is the superior philosophy, taking Krishna as the Atma and defeating his opinion. Right, so he presented Karma Mimamsa, they took the position of Brahma Mimamsa, you know, then him on the platform, the supreme soul and all that, and then defeats his philosophy. The gopis claim that their dharma is not to serve their husbands. They address because he's the supreme Atma, so therefore their duty is to serve the supreme. So then service of the husband is not the actual thing. That's the Karma Mimamsa. They're saying no, they have to serve the supreme Lord. That's the actual thing that one's trying to do, is serve the Lord. Right? So then they're defeating it in that way. And like that he should act, not by this karma mimamsa one. So they're even using the Shastra, all these philosophical technical points, to discuss and use it in their, how you say, banterings in the conjugal rasa. So you can understand how refined it is. So how Shastra serves Krishna and the devotees. Like that. That's the whole point, is that for Krishna, then everything is just serving him. You know, it's like Lord Brahma saw, that all living entities are serving Krishna. Like that, whatever level of realization they're on. They address him as the knower of Dharma sarcastically, right? According to the statements of Shastra Yonitvat, the Lord is known through scriptures, and Tattu Samanvayat, that is the meaning of all texts. Brahma Sutra 1.1.1, 3-4. The conclusion of all scriptures is that everyone should serve you, the Lord, and no one else. So, how do you say? So now we can appreciate that. Why, if we know the Brahma Sutras, then we can appreciate the conversations between the gopis and Krishna.
We know all those ones we know already, so that's it.
Yeah, we'll see. No, it's something that always goes on. It's always part of the different discussions, depending upon the flavor and this and that. They may be discussing different Shastras at different times and using different things, but using a basis as of the Shastra is always going to be some fun, because these technical points can be brought out, the fineness of them, the argument. Because now let us say if Rupa Goswami's made the point that the feminine nature is always contrary or elusive, right? So then would that imply or not the aspect of having different opinions and trying to present those and interacting? Yes. So then, what better system than on the Shastra? You know, and especially, you know, and so that, and you can move through all these different things. So depending upon when they went, one, then you use, you know, you use the Brahma Mimamsa, Karma Mimamsa, you use Shankha, you use Yoga, you use Logic, you use Vaishya, you just, whichever one works. For the fun, whichever Shastra you want to apply it on. So then, and whether you want to use the Vedic, whether you want to use the classical, all these different things, it just gives them opportunity for unlimited discussions and arguments. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole, that's the fun that's going on.
Is this the Shrutichari group of gopis?
Sorry?
Is this the Shrutichari group of gopis?
This is the Shrutichari?
Probably, because they are...
I don't know, we'll see. Does it mention Shrutichari?
Not yet.
The first
no.
group.
Huh? It just says first group. Because they're starting the first from the last.
Oh, yes.
So these are the Kajal Wallas. Mm. You know, or actually the ones that, didn't put their clothes on properly.
And the Lord is telling at the end, you should serve your husbands, that is the Dharma.
Yeah, yes. Yes. So it's just all these different groups and all that. So then, where they're situated and all that, because there is a group, so there'll be a general thing, but there's also the individual development and all that. So the groups can mean where is their level of interaction with Krishna. It can also mean how they group together themselves and interact. We have to at one point know that even though the founding fathers were very wise and very thoughtful when they defined, you know, the whole direction of the country, that it's about logic, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that at some point there's a limit. Does that make sense? So we always have to see it in that context.
So we reached the limit? Once came from?
We reached the point where, yes, that limit is up, yes. We had 9 cantos to apply those things. But now we see is that all of these 3 are being tossed on their head. Okay. The conclusion of all scriptures is that everyone should serve you, the Lord, and no one else. To this, Krishna may question, right? So why we're bringing that up is it's not because they're Shrutichari's that we've been doing this, because they get into all kinds of things. Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar Devotion than just in using that chala. But they're using it according to, you know, how the grammar works and the nirukta, the base of the words. So then when Krishna comes, Radharani asks, he sees him in the morning, so how did you spend your night? But he then changes, breaks the word, changes the grammar, and comes up with a different meaning. Like that. Where did you spend? Like that. And he says, where's your residence? It means, where did you spend the night? And so he says, my residence is in your eyes. But that wasn't what the question, she wanted to know actually where did he, spend the night. So then she says again, then he changes it again into something else, And she slightly adjusts it, and so then he takes it as fragrance. No, I've come here to smell the fragrance of the, like this. Then she changed it as into, where did you spend the night? Then he adjusts it into that you were kidnapped by the night, and said, how would the night kidnap me? And so like this, then it's pleasing. So they're using all these logical things like that. So it's not that it's only the Shrutacharyas do this. It's that the point is that it's being done to please Krishna. They know the topmost. They know the top perfection on how to do all these things. So that means the relationship between Krishna and his Sarup Shakti, that is the completeness, because Shastra is simply the documentation of the knowledge that they use and they practice. Does that make sense? So that Krishna and Radharani, their existence and what they do, if you document that, that's tattva. Right? That's what's there. Does that make sense? But what they're tasting is rasa. You understand? And so then some take the tattva and then they become a little bit dry, like that. And then some take the rasa and they become soggy. And so then the acharyas, they put the proper balance on how it all goes together for Krishna's pleasure. Because when it's about ourselves, then it's either dry or soggy. Like that. But if it's for Krishna, then it's got that perfect balance. Right. The perfect balance, like the perfect, black forest cake. Right? That moistness, that not too dry, not too, like that. So that's the whole point, is that they know how to do this. That's the whole thing. That's why we have to learn from them. But to do that, we have to be aware that our logic, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is limited. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes. To this Krishna may question, how do these scriptural statements refer to me? The gopis will reply with sly words, you are Paramatma, Bhavan, who is dear to all living beings. That which is the object of love is called Atma. Since you are the dearest among all Atmas, you are the Paramatma, and consequently are the unconditional benefactor of all beings, Bandhu, right? Because he is the supreme friend, so when is he going to start benefacting? Right? You act as Paramatma and a friend by your ability to manifest everywhere. You are this person, and thus we conclude that you are the Lord, and thus we should serve you alone. Right? So that, because he's using Dharma, but then they're using the higher principles. Right? They're using the Brahmagyan. So then he's the one to be served. Because you defeat a lower principle with a higher one. Right, so Dharma will defeat Artha, which will defeat Kama. But Dharma is defeated by the Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya platforms. Does that make sense? Yeah. The gopis continued. Expert transcendentalists always direct their affection towards you because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. What use do we have of these husbands, children, and relatives of ours who simply give us trouble? Therefore, O Supreme Controller, grant us your mercy. O Lotus-Eyed One, please do not cut down our long-cherished hope to have your association. Footnote 10. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 33 to Bhagavat Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. So the taste they have of that full surrender to Krishna and seeing Krishna as their only shelter, then that taste, then that is a very special taste. Right? As we'll see, is that now then the, how you say, the acharyas go on for a page to explain this one. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In relation to this topic, some other gopis strengthen their argument with practical examples. Anyone who develops love for Krishna, endowed with the eight good qualities, is not defeated by the enemy, such as lust, just as the followers of Vishnu are not defeated by the asuras. One who has faith in Garga's statement is truly intelligent. Those who are intelligent have love for you. This love is natural and eternally present in their hearts. You are the object of possession for them, and you are eternally the object of affection for them, Nitya Priya. The devotee's affection for husbands and sons is temporary, Alpadika. But we do not even have temporary affection for husbands and sons. Right? So the attachment to family members, that's temporary, because it's only going to be as long as we're in this body. That's the maximum it can go. Then you change the body, they're gone. So another set of parents are there, another set of family and situations. So it's temporary, either by understanding or by force. And they're pointing out it's understanding. So even for the jnani, they understand it's there. But, you know, they go on with it because the attachment's there. You do the duties, it's nice. You do it connected to Krishna. But they're pointing out they don't even have the attachment to them. They don't have anything. Their only attachment is to Krishna. And so even how they can do, because then you could say as well, if they have no attachment, how are they interacting and doing all their duties nicely? So that's because they see it as Krishna. So that's the point, is the devotee actually gets to do it more. So that's the whole point of the Varnashram system, is to please Krishna. Then one would be following it very nicely in performing one's duties in family and whatever we would call ordinary duties, because it's Krishna. Right? We would see Krishna in this. And so that's why then we can do it all nicely. So then how do you know? By knowing the scriptures. So that's why then Krishna's pointing out all these things, how important it is to follow all these things and follow the duties. Right? Because the point is to please him, nothing else. Right? There isn't any other purpose. Yes.
So can we say that Varnashrama applies up to a level of bhava, and then from bhava it's direct service to Krishna, which everything is,
yes,
you know, connected, but then...
Means we would be following as religion up to bhava, right? But within bhava, that's what we have to... Means if we haven't already started before, we should try starting before to switch it, that it's about pleasing Krishna.
Yeah.
But at least at that point, then it has to be seen from that point. Because otherwise, how do you have Parakriya Rasa if they don't have families? Right? Because Swakya then can only get up to the platform of Anubhava. You can't get to the platform of Mahabhava. Just as the nature. So to taste that, then there has to be... So that's the fullest extent that prema can get to. So that's very important. Yeah, so these are things Krishna likes to deal in this way. Otherwise, how do they talk? You know what I'm saying? It means literally, I remember a conversation like that in the... I'm not sure if I would remember this. Either very late 60s, early 70s. Two guys, you know, bell bottoms, the long hair, the shades, you know, the beads, the whole thing. You know, the one guy's trying to explain something. You know what I mean, man? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, just, you know, I mean, man, you know what I mean? And that's all he's saying, like for 5 minutes, from different angles, different moods and that. What did he say? You know, it's just like, you know, basically you just say, do you feel me? You know, like that, you know, like that, do you feel me? Or something. You know, like that. So, you know, that would have been more back the what do you call it? The Bohemians would have said that, right? The hippies, they don't have that same European refinement. So then, that's all he said. But here you see Krishna and the gopis, so much that they have. So all these things, because that becomes the fun for it. Because then he's making these comments. How do they comment back? Oh yes, he's such a brahmachari, or different things like that. They can use all these things to play with. That's why it's there, but its only purpose is to please Krishna. So we generally either take varnashram because of the benefit we'll get, like that, or in the way of liberation or this or that, it just okay, it logically works, Or then if we don't see that, we'll reject it. But the point is here, if it's useful to Krishna, it's not rejected. So they're following the varnashram because it's connection to Krishna. But they're also rejecting it when it's also favorable to Krishna. So because it's about Krishna. And so it never goes too far one way or the other. Otherwise you end up with the Niyamagraha. Those who, as a standard reject, and those as a standard always follow. And then that's where the problem comes up, is that neither can appreciate what's going on here between Krishna and the devotees. Like that. So it's just the best way of it's the best standard of a platform of relationship. It has the maximum amount of variety and depth that you don't get in other things. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, okay, no, we got that. Oh, as they give us suffering by preventing us from meeting you, what is the need of them at all? Right, because they get in the way of their service to Krishna. Therefore, be merciful and save our lives. You may not want to let the married gopis live, but why make the unmarried gopis cry? You already granted their desire when you stole their clothing. Right? So, in other words, we understand who was there, who was not there. So it's they also got to come to the program. That's what he said, how he will fulfill their desire later. Because it said they invited these married gopis, but it doesn't say whether they came or not. So, but the program, the Katyani Vrata, was for those who were unmarried. Right? Then quote, "O young girls, I understand your vow, and I will enjoy with you on future nights." But Krishna may say, "I can give mercy to them because of their vow in worshipping Katyayani. But for what reason can I give mercy to you? You are telling me to be merciful without good reason." Right? So now if there isn't this sense of deity worship and the process there and then all these different things, then how do you have this conversation? So that's the whole point. That's what's the use of it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let us say you have two people that can't cook. Okay? One that has a fabulous kitchen. Right? And says that you got to have a kitchen, this is the way it is, these are the rules, like this and that. Martha Stewart says this and that, you got to have this here, that there, and so many things like that. And it's light, it's airy, it's so many things, I got all the things. Well, the other person says, I'm not interested in cooking. Why I should have a kitchen? Right? And so both of them argue on this plan as if one of these two is the topmost position, as if karma or jnana is the topmost position. Mm-hmm. Right? And in the mix, you'll get, even though they're not cooks, but there'll be a reasonable flavoring of, we're not the body, and we don't care for the rules, and yukta vairagya, and all these nice things they'll be using. But neither is understanding the program at all. The point is if it pleases Krishna, it's used. If it's not, it's not. So the example where they show where it does please, it should be used. The place where it doesn't, then it shouldn't be. That's the whole thing that goes on. But they take it, here it doesn't please, therefore it's never used. And here it pleases, then it's always used. You understand? When the common point is Krishna. Not whether I like rules and regulations or I don't. I find identity in following the rules and the tradition. I find identity that I don't follow the rules and tradition. You understand? But it had, what's it got to do with Krishna? So with Krishna, then it pleases Krishna. Therefore, they can have all these discussions. Right? That's the whole point. That's the only reason, the only purpose of it. It doesn't have another thing. It reminds you of Krishna. That because Krishna being everything, Shastra shows how Krishna is everything. If we look that way. If we don't, then we can get distracted by the externals and think it's really, really important that, you know, by starting the, you know, yajna at this time, then the initiation will be successful. No, initiation, it makes everything successful. You can do it at the wrong time, it's still successful because it's transcendental. It's just that to make it nice and bring everybody together, then the situation will be nice if I use the right time. Things will go smoothly. But the point is what material thing can get in the way of a spiritual relationship? Right? Nothing. But the situation with having the yajna, yes, I don't have to worry that the demons will come and, you know, shower down all kinds of stuff on the yajna or stuff like that, or, you know, how you say, steal my cat, or, you know, whatever it is that they might come to do to disrupt the yajna, right? Because I got a basket, they'll come and steal the basket, the cat will get away, the yajna won't be successful, you know, all these kind of things. So as long as I think karma makes bhakti better, or my independence and not following the rules makes bhakti better, you know, that doesn't work. Or as said by one famous cook, if you don't have bhakti, put more butter. Because if you have bhakti, it'll taste good. If you don't have bhakti, put butter. Yeah. So then we get into all these externals. Okay.
It reminds me about the gentleman who would study the fine arts and stuff like that, but not to identify with them. We just saw in the picture when he's in the company of the fine gentleman, he can actually refer to this thing.
Yes, he can refer. Yes.
And hang the conversation in the relationship.
Yes, yes, very good. Yeah, that was, I mean, originally, at least in the medieval university, I mean, it goes back before, that was the concept of the bachelor's degree. Was that you were considered a gentleman. You had a common ground to discuss because everyone had studied the logic, the grammar, the classics, you know, math, music, all these things. Like you said, they knew all these things. Then they could all converse. Of course, it's all based on false ego, but the principle that it's about relationship and having a common ground to discuss, that's what we're saying. Yes, very good. Okay. Thus the gopis present a sorrowful request. O Lord, who is dependent only on himself, since your childhood you have nurtured a desire creeper, and now that creeper of desire is bearing fruit. Those with such fruit-laden creepers should not cut them down. The words chira and chindyaha can be explained as follows. You have grown in the fields of our heart this creeper of desire, O lotus-eyed one, from the very first time at the beginning of childhood. The seed of bhava sent by your lotus-like eyes entered through the openings of our eyes and became planted in the field of our hearts. This creeper of desire grew by the process of hearing and seeing your qualities and form according to the sages mentioned in the Rasa Shastra. First attraction by eye, then meeting in the heart, and then vow. It has grown and become full of fruit. Some of the fruit has been enjoyed and some is to be enjoyed. Then why do you cut down this creeper today with the axe of your harsh words? You must also certainly know that one should not cut down a full-grown tree, even if it is filled with poison. Right. Yeah. So Krishna's been cultivating this relationship with them since the very beginning. So then they're pointing out having that this now has bloomed, like it says, this first attraction by eye, then meeting. So it says this here, attraction by eye, but before that there's hearing. Remember? So they're mentioning just the three here. But it mentioned before, in the previous part, about the four. Right? First they hear, right? When it's talking about Purvarag, they hear. then, you know, in that association, if it comes to that point, and then they have that determination. So those that had come to that point of determination, they were the ones here. The ones that hadn't, they're the ones who were stopped. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the gopis are the first group who began speaking in verse 31, now summarize their plea. Therefore show affection for us. You must give us mercy and do not do the opposite. Do not break our hopes firmly fixed in you since the time we developed awareness, chirat, but rather fulfill our hopes. So we see is that these are all discussing philosophy and things like that. Now, before, we've had nine cantos of discussing philosophy, prayers and all that of the devotees. But we see here that these ones are very, very special, in that the prayer and the philosophy shows this direct connection with Krishna in a personal relationship. So this is where it all starts from. Right? So in other words, we say, oh, this philosophy is dry. That's because it hasn't come to this point of seeing its connection to Krishna. Everything connects back to Krishna. Because in this state, they're using Brahma-gyan to explain this, and then going into the culture, and going into all these things. Because if you don't know the culture, how are they explaining this? Right? So in other words, they don't think that fruits and vegetables come by their natural thing is that they are in little styrofoam, little kind of cups with you know, saran, what do you call it? The cello, the plastic wrap over them, like that. And that they come out through this funny, they just come out into this little glass thing. And behind that, they have no idea where it came from. They know how everything works all the way back. So they get in any subject, they can explain it. But they show it full connection to Krishna on the topmost platform of affection. So that's the whole point, is that we have to see is that it's the use of this knowledge to please Krishna. That is the important point. It's not knowing the knowledge. We think knowing the knowledge is important. No, it's how it's used to please Krishna. So I know the knowledge with the purpose to please Krishna, then I apply it in Abhideya. But if knowing the knowledge is prayojana for us, then it's going to be a bit, how you say, Gobi Desert-ish, you know, like that. Yes.
As we see that gopis, they use every opportunity to become closer to Krishna. But for many of us, is that we hide behind philosophy, behind position, and very much afraid to be personal with people, because personal means they're going to ask us something, they're going to talk, they're going to...
they're going to talk! I'm going to get stuck for 37 seconds. Yeah.
So how can we balance that? Because we want to be personal, but also...
But not too personal.
Yeah, to be impersonal, it's very easy.
But at the same time as no, it's a matter of where the personal lies. There's this one letter. There's a few of them where, but I remember one specifically where the devotee had written that the devotee's dealings in the temple was so impersonal. He probably wrote back, no, it's personal. Otherwise, why are they dealing the way they do? It's just a matter of which person it's about. Yeah. So we say it's easy to be impersonal. No, it means it's easy to be self-centered. That's how we define impersonal. Because the technical here is Krishna's dealings with the gopis culturally, is it nice or not nice? He's using nice words and saying it nicely. Nice tone, nice examples. So I'm saying, and in the modern day, if someone would speak like that, we would say this guy's personal. You know, we'd make a YouTube video that how this is how it's supposed to be done. Yeah, because it's about ourselves, and then we want that form that we are pleased with. Then we'll call it personal. And if it's a form we're not pleased with, we'll call it impersonal. But it's still about ourselves. So we're making about ourselves, the other person making about themselves, but we're not dealing in ways that are cultured, so then it becomes impersonal. But here, indifference actually means that you're dealing with all the culture nicely, but you have nothing to gain or lose by it. And so then it's being dealt on that, so there is no technically relationship there. That's impersonal. You know what I'm saying? So the concept of what we would call impersonal is not actually impersonal. Impersonal is above that. It's a higher stage. You know what I'm saying? But ultimately, because we don't know about the soul and all that, then we'll attribute it all to impersonalism. But our application of this impersonalism is actually personal. So it's a matter of if dealing nicely and all that, but getting involved as much as is valuable in Krishna consciousness. So then the conversation lasts that long. You know, but then you have to be able to, you know, deal on that and say, you know, if you have to go. But be able to say I have to go in a neutral way that's not disturbance. So it actually takes a higher position to do it right. Because we're thinking, oh, I'm either nice and that got totally entangled, or I'm not nice and then I'm not entangled. But to be nice and not entangled, that's actually the standard, but the hard one. So it just takes more endeavor. So that's generally what we don't want to do, because we would like, you know, how you say, more for nothing, right? Or more for less, you know.
Being nice and not entangled, is this the way the Vihastashram works properly?
Yes, it's just how the whole Vedic system works. Is that you're pleasant and nice because you're dealing with living entities and associates, you know, I mean, and the super soul's there, you're dealing in his standards, but you're not dealing with an attachment for yourself. Right? In other words, if you need to go to the temple because that's the that's the more important service to Krishna at this point, then you can say that, oh, you know, I need to go take darshan now. You know, like that. So that's not an offense, that's just what needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? So then, but it's one of those things we don't know how to deal with it, because it's nice, but at the same time it doesn't have the veneer on it that we expect. You know, it's nice, but it doesn't carry the niceness that people do with the crocodile grins. You know, we're used to a false niceness as actual niceness. You know, but here's being nice, but you know, having no other motive than just you have to do the service. You know, so that's now and again you meet people that are like that, and it's very unnerving because they get done what they need to get done, but it's not self-centered. You know, we're used to people get things done, and they're more, you know, themselves. They're dynamic. They get it done. That's their identity. But here it's not. It's very you don't meet it very often. You'll see it a little bit more in children. If the children, you know, are raised nicely and dealt with very nicely, they can be much more straightforward. Like Prabhupada said, a small child can say anything, and an old man can do anything like that. No one, you know, people will just leave it alone. So the children can say, and no one gets disturbed. So it is actually a useful platform. That's why it's recommended when you become detached. Then you move through the world like a restless child. You know, children deal nicely and all that, but they never really stay in one place long because they don't have any real attachment to any particular thing. But does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Oh, and the gopis continued?
Yes.
Okay. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs, but you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from our household work. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Vraja? What would we do there? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Other gopis revealed their intense love. Revealing their intense love, said, O king of thieves, we did not come with any other purpose than to recover the treasure that you stole from us. You did not need the help of other thieves to do this. It was accomplished very easily, Sukena, by blowing on your flute. Our hearts are not some cheap thing. They were absorbed completely in our household affairs, and by stealing them, the whole house has been plundered. Actually, however, our hearts are not absorbed in the household. What is it to us if the house catches fire or increases in wealth? This is the intended meaning of their overstatement. Right? So, yeah. So they're very dramatically presenting here. The other ones gave a very a logical presentation. They're giving a very dramatic presentation. And so they're making this point that you stole our hearts, so we came to get them back. You know, we were absorbed in the house. The house is of value. So much is there. By us not having that, that means you stole the whole house. But at the same time, what does it matter? If that does, we came here to surrender to you. So from both sides, they show. Okay. Quote, but the mind must become absorbed in those affairs so that the senses can perform their activities. Without the mind, the senses become useless. When you stole our minds, you also stole our senses. Our hands and our eyes and other senses were also stolen. So along with that comes the mind being in control of the 10 senses. Therefore, everything was there. So their hands are not doing work. Their feet came to there. Their feet won't go back. Right? Their voice is speaking. So all this. Krishna says, O gopis, go home today, and after considering, tomorrow or the next day, I will return your hearts. Right? So you go home now, and I'll think about it, and then after I'll return them. To answer this, the gopis say, without our hearts, our feet cannot move one step away from your feet. Give us our hearts, and we will go. Right? Because he has their hearts. They're fully surrendered to him, so they can't go. So unless he gives it back, and they have no attachment to Krishna, then they could go. You know, just like they had no attachment to the house, they left. So if they have no attachment to Krishna, then they can go back. But Krishna has they have that attachment, so they can't go. The gopis continued, Dear Krishna, please pour the nectar of your lips upon the fire within our hearts, a fire you ignited with your smiling glances and sweet song of your flute. If you do not, we will consign our bodies to the fire of separation from you. O friend, and thus, like yogis, attain to the abode of your lotus feet by meditation. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, The gopis situated in a second direction expressed their hopes clearly. Remember, because he said that they're situated in the 10 directions. I think the last group was the 8. So you missed the up and down?
No, 8 directions and 1 is 12.
No, but there were 10 groups.
10 groups. 11 groups.
But flame in the flame that...
Yeah, but you have the flame and then the tip of the flame.
Tip of the flame.
So the bottom is the flame and the tip, the top is the tip of the flame.
There are 2 groups and 8 other groups are 8 directions.
Yes. So, Prabhupada is saying, or Jiva Goswami is saying, the gopi is situated in a second direction. Right? So there's 10 directions. Right? Up and down is also one of the directions, right? So that's 10. So therefore another direction now is expressing this. Right? So the gopis situated in a second direction express their hopes clearly, revealing their longing and showing clearly the necessity of that longing being fulfilled. While concluding that he will be at fault by his present refusal, they begin with an order, please extinguish the fire in our hearts because of their intense anguish. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Dear Krishna, as women, we are certainly satisfied when our hearts are engaged in the activities of family affairs, but our hearts have already been stolen by you. We can no longer engage them in family affairs. Besides that, although you have repeatedly asked us to return home, and that is a very appropriate instruction. Unfortunately, we have been stunned here. Our legs have no power to move a step from your lotus feet. Therefore, even at your request, we return home. What shall we do there? We have lost all our ability to act without you. Instead of engaging our hearts in family affairs as women, we have now developed a different kind of lust, which is continually blazing in our hearts. Now we request you, dear Krishna, to extinguish that fire with your beautiful smile and the transcendental vibration emanating from your lips. If you do not agree to do us this favor, we shall certainly be burned in the fire of separation. In that condition, we shall simply think of you and your beautiful features and give up our bodies immediately. In that way, we think it will be possible for us to reside at your lotus feet in the next life. Right. So we see is that here's that the point's been made and it's there. Then all the flavors that have come out in this. Right? So based on mood that they have, then the acharyas are showing the different technical points that are there. But it's based on that mood of that flavor. And we see with Prabhupada, when he writes it, both are there together. He's showing the verse and the technicalities, but with the flavor that the gopis are feeling and expressing it in. Right? So the acharyas are expecting that you're going to remember that first point and then continue from there. Like that. Prabhupada, how you say, has a better understanding of us. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like in the puja, in the Pancharatrik puja, there's a room next to the deity room that you go there, you do all the purvanga karmas, all the preliminary activities of puja. You worship the guru. You purify yourself, you purify all the paraphernalia, everything is established and brought to the transcendental platform. Having brought it to the transcendental platform, then it's taken to the deity room, and then you start the artik by picking up the lamp and showing it to the deity. Because you've already gone to the stage of how you're serving the spiritual master, serving the previous acharyas, serving Krishna. Right? And so then you understand, as a servant of my spiritual master, on his behalf, all these things are being offered. Right? And so during that whole, 20-25 minutes of the artik, one is naturally going to be completely and fully absorbed in that, right?
Hopefully.
Yes. But what's the reality? Probably thinking of something else. So therefore, then Prabhupada put, because we're not going to sit down and do all that technical stuff, and we're not going to be able to remember all that technical stuff when we apply it, he put it that you do the achman, you pick up the lamp, you show you through guru and that up to the parliament, then it's artik for Krishna. Then you pick up the next item, you do exactly the same thing. That way, each item we're reminded of actually what the process is. So Prabhupada just puts it together. Same thing. People say, oh, it's different and this and that. And they'll argue until, they won't even argue until the cows come home, because cows coming home is actually auspicious. It's known as Goduli. It's one of the nice times of the day. So this is just a waste of time. Absolute waste of time. Right? So the whole thing is that Prabhupada's done these things to bring out that point, bring it to that point. So we can see as we're going through here, the discussions and prayers before and the discussions of the gopis, and how they are able to bring everything together in one nice, well-balanced position. That the tattva, the rasa, the examples, everything is very nicely going and that mood is being perfectly expressed. That's actually a very special position. So then to take it that Prabhupada's is on a very easy and these others are more elevated, all we're doing is using the ascending process. We're taking it because Prabhupada's thing can be understood by everybody. Therefore, the stuff that not everybody can understand, but of course I can understand, then is more important. Right? And therefore, I'm arguing out of, intelligence and logic, and the others are arguing out of, sentiment and lack of knowledge and lack of ability. What they don't catch is that Prabhupada is able to take this topmost stuff and bring it down, descending down to where we are. Right? It's come down from Goloka. It's come down to all these different things. Down to all the planetary systems. Then the Bhu Mandala, then of that, down to the Jambudri, from that to Bharadvarsha, to that to Bharatakanda, to that to wherever, whichever particular unfortunate place in the world we happen to be sitting, and deliver it to us there. That is the full descending process. That's the Charya. Right? That's the founder. So it's not that it's low, it's higher. It's just that we don't have the qualification, because for us qualification means, you know, gyan. You know, karma and gyan. I'm better at being successful at getting something done, or I know more. Not that I understand or realize more. And it's practically affected through engagement and service. Does that make sense? So we have to understand what's going on here. So the acharyas, what they're saying is all problem. But the point is people at that time could keep that all in mind. Right? It's just like, you know, does that make sense? But since we don't, then Prabhupada very nicely blends it together. Right? So the mood that is there in the verse then is there in that purport. Well, the acharyas, they're simply bringing out things to expand your appreciation of the verse. But you're supposed to remember what the verse is about. We tend to forget. You know, that's the thing. Does that make sense? Like if you read the acharyas purports and just go through, that means here if it's a pastime, but in generally, you know, go through is that it'll be on different things, depending on the verse that's brought out, and there'll be some connection there. But Prabhupada's purports, even if you didn't read the verse and just read the purports, you would understand the flow of how the chapter is working. Does that make sense? So it's something special.
Actually, even in Bhagavad Gita also, especially the start of the chapter or the end of the chapter,
yes,
he brings up the summary of all previous chapters.
Yes, yes, yes. No, he does that a lot. Yeah, that's very important.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.